But you met him when he was very young.
Did you
pick up on his musical or his auditory perception, or did you influence him in a way where he magnified?
You can read my diary entries. I met him they were high school kids, and I met him in a club. So I didn't even know they were musicians, he and Beefheart. Then I meet him in the early 60s, and I knew about the studio that Paul Buff had, which had advanced multi-track. A lot of the surf music was done there. And you'll see in the diary in 62 or so, I'd see Frank, you know, this was like the second or third time I'd seen him since 58. So then I tell him to check out Paul Buff. And he said, oh, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. But I found out a few years later that he already knew about it. But he kept it to himself. You know, he didn't tell me what he was doing. Then when he starts becoming famous in 66, 67, that's when I started listening to his music. And then I decided to promote him. I just found it enjoyable music. And you don't know what he's going to do. I always liked him. I knew he was above everybody else, but I didn't really get a real appreciation of the immensity of it until the 80s, when a lot of people of the Zappa's generation weren't paying attention to him anymore. But we would go to concerts. We got a good seat, eighth row in the front there. It was like watching a UFO. You know, like at the end of Close Encounters, the UFO comes down, and it's like emanating light, and everybody's just hypnotized. That's what a Zappa concert was. It was so perfect, the production of the music. It's so huge. It's so orchestral, and they never stopped. It was like huge mind organization. And it was like a UFO. It really was outstandingly awful, awe-inspiring, full of awe. I'd go to as many concerts as possible.
That's when you started engaging with him personally, too, right?
Oh, no. I engaged with him from the 60s. No, in the 60s.
Yeah, but was there a time when you started having longer conversations?
I would start telling him in the 70s some of my explaining the May Brussel level of what was going on in American society. And you can read his biography. And he says that, his autobiography, that in 79, he was given information about how the Republican far right were going to use the moral majority, which was just starting, and use it to take over American politics. Well, I'm the person who gave him that information. And that's outlined in Dr. Beter's tapes in 79. When Reagan started rising in 80, he was writing all those anti-religious songs and moral majority songs before anybody really even knew about that and how it would be influential. I mean, people look back, they're amazed. Alex Jones interviewed Gail Zappa once, because Alex didn't know anything about Zappa, but one thing led to another, and he started looking at it, and he was flabbergasted at all the stuff that he talked about in 2000, 30 years before Frank was talking about. And he interviews Gail, but he's a lousy interviewer, and doesn't really get spelled out, but Gail was just confirming that, you know, Frank was way ahead of all those conspiracy things. Frank wasn't he wasn't a conspiracy theorist, but he knew the manipulation.
Yeah.
And like Andy Warhol, he worked in advertising. You'll see any of these people.
And Alex probably used the information from that point forward.
Right. So Zappa in 1980 is telling you what's going to happen with all these right-wing preachers influencing politics. And Mae Brussel was doing the same thing. And Mae Brussel predicted that there was going to be some murders, and then John Lennon was shot, you know, a month after Reagan got in. Then McLuhan died 30 days later. Well, Mae and Zappa were on the same track because I was helping both of them. And then Zappa was ahead of the game on all of that level, and then he started in 88, his last tour. He was celebrating, making great music, celebrating this stuff and the collapse of Tammy and Jimmy Baker and the rest of them and Pat Paulson. So I gave him information on AIDS, and then I turned him on to Mae Brussel, and he used the Mae Brussel to do his famous attack on that committee, the censorship committee, in September 85, the famous one with the short hair where he goes in and insults. And that's why James Baker intervened and stopped Zappa being cultural representative for the Czech government under that Pavlov guy, whatever his name was, that took over in Czechoslovakia. He was imprisoned in the 70s for being part of some kind of cultural underground, and what they did is they would celebrate Zappa music. So here's Zappa, a whole drama of going around Zappa in the Cold War. What's his name? Havel, Vaclav Havel. He's a theater entrepreneur, playwright and all this, and writer and all this. And his gang formed
European?
A band called Plastic. What?
European writer?
Yeah, Czechoslovakia.
Pavel?
Okay, here's this guy
under
communist Soviet Union in the 70s. They're getting a little bit of Zappa product coming in. They don't have it all, I don't think. So they named themselves after his second album, Plastic People. They formed underground theater, poetry, and music, and all this, and they got arrested, every one of them, and put in jail. Havel got put in jail. And so when the wall went down and they had the Velvet Revolution in late 89, Zappa was immediately invited to Czechoslovakia by Vaclav Havel in his cabinet. There's this great documentary where Zappa is coming to the airport. I mean, he's landing in Prague, and he can't. There's a huge, huge crowd
to welcome him.
Yeah, and he's surprised at this. He doesn't really know what's going on. So then he's taken to the Pavlov's castle, and they form an immediate big festival celebrating Zappa. So Havel names him cultural ambassador for Czechoslovakia. So Frank says, sure. And this is like in January 90. So then James Baker, whose wife was on the committee that Zappa was criticizing on September 19, 1985, these important dates that should be part of every kid's American history.
Is that like with Tipper Gore and Jello Biafra stuff too?
Yeah, right. That's the hearing.
Nice.
It's hilarious and brilliant how he criticizes them. Well, Mrs. Baker's husband was chief of staff or whatever he was for Reagan. He's flying to Moscow, and he hears about this appointment. He immediately directs the Air Force One or Air Force Two to go to Prague, and they land in Prague a day or two or 3 hours later, and they march up to Havel, and they said, if you have Zappa as ambassador, cultural ambassador, then you should forget about doing business with the United States. So Havel told this to Frank, and Frank immediately said, no, I don't want to screw up this whole new situation, so... He said, oh, I don't have to. I'm not going to be your cultural ambassador. You know, you guys need to do business in this new situation. So he just immediately backed down. And then he understood what he was up against, what Havel was. So here's Zappa. His albums are the way the Soviet Union shows its power to the East Bloc countries. And Zappa is a big, hot political potato. But, you know, nobody in the West knew this. So that's way more influential than John Lennon or something, because it affects the guys who go to jail for it all.
Yeah, the Czech band that went to jail, they went to jail for the words. They repeated Zappa's words in their music.
Yeah, and played his music. I think you liked the religious song, the Auntie Tammy Baker song. That impressed you. Jesus thinks you're a jerk.
Oh, that's right.
So this is Jesus Thinks You're a Jerk. This is 1988. It's the collapse of the moral majority and everything's happening in that election year. And Frank's going around registering voters at every concert. The League of Women Voters would set up tables. So he was trying to get the Democrats to knock out the Republicans. So...
Yes, friends. Pass the plate around, friends. Join us, friends.
There's a knuckly little weasel about 3'9". Face puffed up from crying and lying. Cause her sweet little hubby's sucking prong part-time. In the name of the Lord.
Get a clue, little shrew. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Jesus thinks you're a jerk. Would he really choose Sally to do his work?
Hallelujah.
Yes, friends.
Robertson says that he's the one. Oh, he sure is. If Armageddon is your idea of family fun, and he's got some plan for you. Now tell me that ain't true. Yeah.
Give me that old time religion.
Now what if
Jimbo. Can't get enough of it. Of an affirmative action plan to give white trash a special break. Well, they took those cheese old bucks and ran to the bank, to the bank, to the bank, to the bank. And every night you can hear them thank their buddy up above for sending down his glove while you all smell the glove. Jim and Pat should take a pull right up each saintly glory hole with tar and feathers too, just like they'd love to do to you.
Cause they think you are bad.
Yes, they do.
And they are very bad.
Cause some folks don't want prayer in school. We need an ark to survive the drool of micro-publicans raised on hate. And Jimbo Jumbo when they graduate. Convinced they are the chosen ones. And all their parents carry guns.
Hey, look, Godzilla!
And hold them cards in the NRA.
I'll tell Fireman Elvin Hickey.
With their fingers on the trigger. When they kneel and pray.
I mean,
with the Ku Klux Mumu in the back of the truck. If you ain't born again, they want to mess you up. Screaming, no abortion, no sorry. Life's too precious, can't you see? What's that hanging from a neighbor's tree? Why, it looks like colored folks to me.
Would they do that?
They've been doing it for years.
Seriously?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the dynamic Eric Buxton.
Imagine, if you will, a multi-millionaire TV evangelist saved from Korean combat duty by his father, a U.S. senator. Studied law, but is not qualified to practice it. Father of a love child who in adulthood hosts the remnants of Papa's religious propaganda program. Claims not to be a faith healer, but has in the past dealt sternly with everything from hemorrhoids to hurricanes. Involved with funding for an undeclared war in Central America, claiming Ronald Reagan and Oliver North as close friends. Involved in suspicious tax avoidance schemes under investigation for 16 months by the IRS. Claims to be a man of God, currently seeking the United States presidency, hoping we will all follow him into the
Twilight Zone.
But hey,
what if Pat gets in the White House? So fucking way I eat. You know what I mean?
The rights of certain people disappear mysteriously. Now, wouldn't that sort of qualify as an American tragedy? Ow, ow, ow. Especially if they cover it up.
I mean, babe, we're tight. We're like this, okay? I mean that.
I hope we never see that day.
Right here, it's hot. It's hot.
In the land
of the free. Or someday will we?
92.
Will we?
96.
And if you don't know by now the truth of what I'm telling you, then surely I have failed somehow. Surely I have failed somehow, yeah. Oh, surely I have failed somehow. And Jesus will think I'm a jerk, just like you. If you let those TV preachers make a monkey out of you, ow, ow, ow. I said Jesus will think you're a jerk, and it would be true.
There's an old rugged cross
in the land of the stainless maiden.
It's just burning on the lawn.
But this person looks like Tom Braden. Jim and Tammy. Oh, baby, you gotta go. You really got to go.
Intermission. Get your butt out there and register to vote, would you please? See you in a half an hour.